So we'll get to that later on this afternoon. But it is time to get to the real stuff, man. We got two big ball games this weekend. Oh, you and Al's brother are going to be on the clock at some point in the next hour or so to make a big pick. And I'll have a pick as well. We only got two games left, three games left in the whole season if you include the Super Bowl.
Let's ask Joe, if he wins the coin flip, what would be his pick?
Okay, let's bring him in here. Longtime NFLer, longtime Cleveland Brown. You know him from the NFL Network and the Tomahawk Show podcast. Here is Joe Thomas. What's happening, Joe?
What's happening, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. Do you have one winner in particular you feel the best about? Is there one team going into this weekend where you say, if I had to put cash down, I think that's the team I love the most?
Ooh, I thought you were talking about the coin flip, because I'm a tails never fails guy. But if we're talking teams here, I like the Packers. I really do. I think they're really playing great football on both sides of the ball. I mean, their defense, they struggled a little bit in the middle of the season, but the last six games or so, they've really picked it up on the defensive side of the ball. And of course, we all know how great Aaron Rodgers is playing. It's like he's unstoppable right now in that Matt LaFleur offense, where he's got this good running game that's setting up incredible play-action passing to Davante Adams. And you couple that, and you're going to take a Florida team, and you're going to put them in Green Bay, Wisconsin, with the snow and the cold. I just think that tips the scales heavily in the favor of the Packers, if I had to bet on one team.
Joe, are you forgetting the ass whooping the Bucks put on the Pack? Like, what about that? Are you just totally forgetting that, or it doesn't mean anything to you?
I'm completely going to gloss over that and pretend that it did not happen. But no, it's funny. You know, you listen to these teams all week, and the Packers largely are trying to convince everybody that was a completely different team that lost 38-10 to the Buccaneers earlier on in the season. But I mean, when you do break that game down, you look at it, the Packers jumped out to a 10-0 lead, and then they had some turnovers, and it got sideways. And I've been in those situations throughout my NFL career where things get a little bit sideways, and all of a sudden you're reeling, and the Buccaneers got such an offense to be able to score quickly that they jump on top of you, and before you know it, you're so far behind, and you have kind of lost trust and faith in the game plan, and you lose that game. But at the end of the day, you come home, you lick your wounds, and you figure out, all right, these were the things we screwed up on. We're not going to let those things happen again if we see these guys again. And lo and behold, they're playing them again. And I think the important thing to remember is, don't remember that game was in Tampa. It was earlier in the season. And like I mentioned, Aaron Rodgers in cold weather in Lambeau Field, he's just about unstoppable. And then you make a warm weather team that hasn't felt the bitter temperatures of Green Bay, Wisconsin, the frozen tundra in a little while. And I really just feel really strongly about that Green Bay game.
Joe, are you surprised that Mahomes is available?
I went to that Browns-Chiefs game on Sunday, and I was sitting, you know, not too far up, so I had a really good view of that hit. And the hit was not that bad, but when Mahomes tried to get up, it looked like he had a hard time getting his leg under him, and it looked like he had been knocked out like a boxer almost. And so the fact that he just got cleared today, it was very surprising considering what I saw with my own eyes. But then the reports from that point that the hit happened until today are that maybe he really didn't have a concussion, and maybe the hit was not as much about to the head, but it just kind of hit a nerve or an artery kind of in that neck area. And it was almost like a chokehold move where he was kind of momentarily knocked out, but not necessarily from traumatic brain injury. So I think being that is the case and not necessarily that it was a concussion, I'm less surprised, especially when you consider all that's on the line. Let's be honest. The NFL, there's a vested interest to get Patrick Mahomes out there, so it's not Chad Henne and Josh Allen going at it. Everybody wants to see Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, who are two of the most exciting young quarterbacks in the NFL. We want to see those guys go back and forth. So let's be honest. I don't think anybody should be surprised that Patrick Mahomes is going to be out there.
No, I'm with you on that. And I expect him to look like 100%. I don't think it's going to matter that, yeah, he was still practicing. Maybe he wasn't putting in as much time in the gym or the film room or whatever. But come Sunday, I expect Mahomes to be a rock star. Do you have the same expectation?
I do. I don't think the lack of full practice or the lack of reps because of the injuries is really much of an issue. If COVID taught us anything, it's that these NFL teams, when faced with a challenge, there's a lot of reasons and a lot of willpower to be able to overcome those challenges. I mean, the opener in the wild card round with the Browns versus the Steelers, the Browns didn't even really get to practice. They couldn't even go in the facility because of COVID, and they were able to find ways through meetings and different pieces of technology to get the reps that they needed to go out and play a great game. And I'm sure Patrick Mahomes will have the same technology and ability at his fingertips to be able to prepare himself in the way he needs to. My concern, though, is actually that toe more than the concussion protocol that he's in, because as we know, one thing Patrick Mahomes kind of relies on as a quarterback is that mobility, right? That's what makes him almost unblitzable. Because you blitz him and you don't get him down, he's going to get out of the pocket and he's got the arm strength to throw it to any blade of grass in the field. And he's got the receivers that are fast enough to go to any blade of grass in the field. So the risk-reward paradigm with blitzing him is impossible when he can escape the rush. But if he's a little bit limited mobility-wise, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills try to heat him up a little bit early on and just try to see how good that toe is feeling and if he is able to escape the pass rush like he usually can.
We're chatting with longtime All-Pro NFLer Joe Thomas from the NFL Network Tomahawk Show podcast. As a left tackle yourself, or as an offensive lineman in general, when you know that, when you know your quarterback is not quite 100%, obviously you're going out there with the intention to protect all the time. But does it change any of your mentality when you know that your quarterback, especially a guy, you know, like Mahomes, is maybe not at 100%? How does it affect the offensive line?
Well, it's like, you know, the enemy is at the gate. There's a different excitement and eagerness to what you're trying to get done when you realize that the chances of winning and losing completely rest on the health of your quarterback, because they don't win that game if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play most of that game. And so it's up to those guys, and they understand if he gets hit, you lose, and you're going to be the guy that's going to be the reason, and you don't want to be the reason. As the offense, we always said in that offensive line room, is I don't want to be the reason. And that was a motivating factor for us in the off season, in training camp, in the preparation. The reason you spend extra time after practice working on your technique, you spend extra time in the meeting room, because you don't want to be the reason that your $500 million quarterback is not in the game, giving you an opportunity to win that game. So there's definitely a different level of attention to detail and desire to get your job done when you realize that Patrick Mahomes is already coming into this game a little bit banged up.
Joe, what's your taking a chunk out of a guy's kneecap game like? I'm curious, because apparently, I heard yesterday.
You know, my teeth haven't been sharpened lately, so I'm not sure that that's the right coach for me. I'm not sure if that's my strategy. I'm just going to lay down on the ground if you knock me down. I'm way too old to get back up. I'll give up real fast.
What are the players think in Detroit when they're watching this guy talking about taking chunks out of teams' kneecaps, and when they fall down, they're going to take the other kneecap out? I mean, if you're the player, like, what is the text chain with NFL players watching that nonsense yesterday? I'm curious.
Yeah, three letters, OMG. They're going, did you hear what that guy just said? This is going to suck. That's exactly what they're thinking. And, you know, I don't really know Dan Campbell. I played about the same time as he did. I met him a few times. And I would be concerned if I'm a player, and anytime I got a new head coach, and I played for 9 offensive coordinators and like six or seven head coaches, so I got a wonderful opportunity to be part of that first speech from a head coach a lot of times. And you know, like, they get a little nervous, and you could tell Dan got a little bit nervous there, and he got a little bit over his skis with the tough guy approach that I'm sure he was going in there thinking that that's what the Detroit fans wanted to hear. Whenever my coach would come in for the first time and he would talk about, we're going to work harder and we're going to be tougher than everybody else, the first thing I thought is, well, that's a great idea. Why didn't anybody else think of that? It's
exactly.
Like as if the coach beforehand didn't want to be tough. He was trying to build a soft team that wasn't going to work hard. Like, if you don't have something that's constructive and substantive to tell me, and the only thing you got to tell me is we're just going to work harder, like, I believe in my mind that you don't have anything better to tell me. Like, the best coaches I ever had came into that room and would always talk about, we're going to put you guys in the best position to succeed. We're going to work and find the weakness of the defense, and we're going to attack them. And I'm going to put you guys in the best position to accentuate your strength. Like, those were the best coaches, like, because they had something to coach me on. Like, I don't really know that coaching and saying we're going to be tougher or we're going to be meaner than the other guys. I don't think that really plays in today's NFL because it's much more about X's and O's and technique these days.
Yep, I think you're spot on that. He is Joe Thomas, longtime NFLer, the Tomahawk Show podcast. Check it out. You can see him on the NFL Network. It's always great of you to find time for us, and enjoy the games. We'll do it down the road. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it. There he is, Joe Thomas. And it's so true. I mean, Joe Thomas was a monster, like all-pro left tackle. You know, 6'5", 320, and even he's like, really? You think I'm just going to work harder and be tougher all of a sudden because
Dude,
you're in
I
my
told
face?
You yesterday, like, guys would be texting each other saying, are you watching this buffoon right now talking about taking chunks out of kneecaps and then the other kneecap?
Like, we're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
We're going to bite a kneecap off. And who goes, bites a kneecap?
I don't know.
And all the nonsense, that's the thing, man. Like, you've got to go to the Peyton Manning or something and say, you got to be the president and get us out of this. And bring Bill Cowher out of retirement or something. Don't bring a guy in there that's going to start biting people's kneecaps off after all the suffering that's gone on there.
Well, and what he said, like Thomas, you know, was kind of joking off the top there, but he gave us a really insightful detail there, which I'm sure you guys can appreciate playing for different coaches. It's like, tell us how you're going to utilize my best assets. Like, how are we going to win here? I don't need to hear the rah-rah, win one for the Gipper, biting kneecap off speech.
Yeah.
Like, can you drop a play so that we can beat Aaron Rodgers when we play him twice next year?
Yeah.
Like, can
I,
you
as
do
much,
that?
As much as I had disagreements with Peter Laviolette, when he showed up in Carolina, he pulled me aside and said, look, here's the deal. I think you got to drop 7 pounds. And he goes, that might seem like a weird number to you, not for me. He goes, I believe in your abilities, but I think you're a little bit too heavy right now and you're carrying around five pounds too much. So get on the scale, work on it, because you're a great goal scorer and I believe you score in goals. So I rode the bike for a week, played the first game against Pittsburgh, and I scored the overtime winner. And I'll never forget, he hugged me after the game, and he said, I believe in you. I told you, you're a goal scorer. And just a little thing like that. He didn't call me in his office and say, take a chunk out of a guy's kneecap.
Yeah. Work
but
harder
that little thing
kneecap.
Like that, that made me think, okay, this guy does believe in me.
Yeah.
I mean, our relationship kind of went south from there, but that
it was a good start.
It was.
Anyway.
It was a good start.
It was a good start.